dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind. It's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark D. Valenti with Brain Burrow. Today, we have one of our digging deep sessions where we have an opportunity to really dig deep with our guest, who has an opportunity to share about her perspectives, her values, her motivation. And I'm pleased to announce that our guest today is Ms. Deborah Lamb. And I'm going to hand it over to Deborah with the big open-ended question: who exactly is Deborah Lamb?
Okay. This reminds me of one of those questions. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
You can answer that question if you prefer. It is up to you.
No, I know nothing about trees. I'm not an arborist. Okay, that's the first thing is Deborah Lamb is not an arborist.
That's a fair way to start.
But I do love trees, of course. Who doesn't love trees?
Obviously, communists or criminals do. So, yeah.
Tree haters.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Who is Deborah Lamb? I watched the opening of your interview with my good friend, Roger Connor, and Connors. And he had the best answer. It just rolled off the tip of his tongue. Well, I'm a this and I'm a that. And I'm like, well, okay. I'm just a girl who enjoys expressing myself through all sorts of different types of mediums. You know, I'm an artist. A lot of people probably don't know that about me. I'm a writer. I've been published many times. My short stories have been published in these anthology books with this writing group that I'm a part of called the Writers, Poets, and Deviants. The editor is Mandy White, and it's a lovely group of people. And I've been published in several of their books. Those are available on Amazon if you want to look them up. Just type in my name and things will pop up. So I'm a writer, and I've also co-written a few scripts with my very, very close and dear friend, Michael Haberfellner, who lives in Vienna. And then I'm an actress, and I started out very young, as a young child, writing and drawing and writing stories. And I wrote a little children's play when I was a little kid, intended for children to perform. And I illustrated things, and I took ballet for 7 years, from 7 to 14 years old. And then my mother moved us to LA when I was 14. So then the ballet school that I was in, I wasn't there anymore, but we put on all these shows every year. And so I just come from a very solid background of a lot of creativity and art and dancing and acting. And, you know, it just spilled over into high school. And then when I graduated high school, I pursued things. And so, but that doesn't really say who I am. So I guess, I mean, that's just things I do, but who I am is, you know, I'm a very caring, nurturing person, and I love my friends and I love my family. And those people that are close to me in my life are more important than anything. And, you know, my husband, of course, I love him very much. And I mean, that goes without saying. And so I think if, you know, once I'm gone off the planet, and what I want to be known for is I do want to be known for that Deborah Lamb. She was a mighty fine actress. She was in a lot of really good things, and you could always count on her to bring across a great performance. That's a legacy I really hope to have. But more importantly would be Deborah Lamb loved her friends and her family, and we love her for that.
Thank you, Deborah, for not practicing that. I think you did an amazing job of explaining who you are.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you think about who you are, I think most of us, and I do it certainly, is we attach who we are to what we do, you know, our professions, we do for a living, our goals. And those are all parts of who we are by the things that we're going after, the things that we dream about becoming and doing. But is that really who we are? Who we are, I suppose, if you really think about it, is how we treat other people, our actions. Do we keep our word? If we give somebody a promise, do we keep that promise? Or are we just trying to, you know, claw our way up some kind of proverbial ladder and you know, do or say things about other people and thinking it's going to help us, you know, make it. And it, you know, so these are the things of, I think, of who we are, is our behavior, our intentions towards other people, how we think about ourselves in terms of our place in the world. But that's more than what we do.
That's right. And that's exactly why I asked that question to begin with, to see exactly what the guest says in response to that. Do they define themselves based on what they do? And there's nothing wrong with that, because what you do is a reflection of who you are. So it's all connected anyway.
Right.
But you said a lot of interesting things there. And what I want to talk about specifically at this moment is what you talked about, legacy, leaving behind, because you specifically called out, you want to be remembered as somebody who gave a good performance or who loved her friends and family. So talk about why legacy is important to you.
Well, I think that we spend so much of our waking hours striving to get somewhere, you know, our goals. And of course, I'm in the film entertainment world. So my goals are, you know, step by step, get into bigger and better projects, have bigger and better roles, work with this person or work with that person or this director, or be associated with certain a category of level of filmmaking, you know. And so we're all, you know, people in my business, you know, fellow actors, fellow filmmakers and screenplay writers and all these people, you know, it's the same. Everyone's trying to make it to the next level. And that's a given. No matter what level you're at, you're trying to make it to the next level. And what was the question? Because I completely forgot.
No, it's okay. It was why is legacy important to you specifically? Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. So wherever, you know, it's all relative, you know. You got your big A-listers, so what they're going after and what they want their legacy to be is very relative to anybody in any other level, whether you're just starting out your career, no matter what that career is. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, whatever, actor, you know. But for me, I think that as long as I'm, you know, of course I have specific goals, but as long as I'm kind of going forward and moving ahead and challenging myself and, you know, being excited. I think also in this industry, it's very easy to get to a point where it's just grueling. You know, any job that you do professionally can become grueling. I mean, I've had regular jobs that I was at for, you know, many, many, many years, and you know, it would be like, oh my God, is this it? Is this all I'm going to do in my life? Should I just, you know, you know, blow my brains out now, or what should I do? I think as long as you can keep reinventing yourself is one thing, but to go back to legacy, I think that the thing that's most important to me, and of course I've done plenty of performances where I look at it and think, oh, you know, that wasn't bad, but I could have done better, because I think we all do that. But I think as long as I feel that the things I'm involved with and the performances I give as a actor, that if I feel like I'm improving, if I feel like I'm going from one role to the next, and of course I do like to have all these different types of roles, so I do like to be challenged. I like to feel like, okay, this is a role I haven't done. I want to challenge myself and do this role. So as long as I'm giving it my all and then I'm present in the roles that I'm in, I think that is a certain kind of legacy, but also maybe more of what I'd really like is to be in some films that are more commercially recognized, commercially seen. A lot of my films, you know, there's definitely an audience for all the films that I've done, but a lot of my films are lower budget films, so they may not get the attention or the distribution to be seen by a wide audience. So sure. I think I would like to have a legacy where, as I go along in my career, that perhaps there are some films in my future that will have a wider audience and that I'll have recognition for being a good, solid performer that people can rely on. Like when I get hired by people, the filmmakers and directors, that they, you know, and this is true now, the people that I work with and the people that do cast me in things, they cast me because they know they can count on me to bring a strong performance to whatever that role is. And I think as long as I just keep doing that, in the end, when I'm really old, I'll be like, yeah, I didn't do too bad for an old gal. So I guess that's a legacy there too. So whatever it becomes, I have, you know, big dreams still. You know, I'm not so jaded that I don't think, well, maybe someday I'll really make it, you know. I'll really make it. You know, I'm older, of course. I'm a mature woman, so I don't have, you know, like super big highfalutin ideas about what my future will be. But I think that would be it, that I would be happy with that. A legacy where people who don't know me recognize me as somebody who always gave a good, strong performance as far as acting goes, and personal level, someone who was there for family and friends. And yeah, I don't really know how to answer that.
I think you did an amazing job of answering that.
Oh, thank you.
Truly. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just your perspective. So,
right.
And I think that you obviously have thought about this. It's something that drives you. So you're just verbalizing it. And that was well said. So nice work with that.
Yeah. Sometimes I think about things like this, you know, like with the couple of questions you've asked me, and rather than just give kind of some kind of canned answer, something that would just be like a sound bite.
That's right.
I'd like to think about it. It's like, let's think about that. What does that mean?
That's right. Well, and honestly, I think people want to hear and see you give more authentic, thoughtful answers than just a sound bite anyway. So thank you for being vulnerable to be able to do that. Because there's a vulnerability, right? Sure. Yeah. So I think that you shared a lot just now. And I like what you talked about, you know, as far as feeling stagnant, a feeling that things become grueling. So how do you know when things are becoming stagnant for you?
Well, I think there have been moments, but I don't think this is, I'll say the first thing first. My brain gets ahead of myself. There have been several projects where I'm like, oh God, I can't wait for this to be over. Oh God, I can't. I can't. Oh. Like it's like, I'm being tortured, you know, on this film project. And, or I get to the point where it's like, that's it. I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I'm done. I'm quitting. I quit.
Wow.
You know, those moments And I think in those moments, I feel like, okay, there's, I'm not excited. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I think, okay, I just need to take a step back and maybe take a little break, or I have to rethink the kind of projects I'm taking, because if I'm taking projects where I'm just like, you know, not super into it,
sure,
then I need to, going forward, I need to make sure that the things that I'm doing, it's like I'm excited about, because acting and filmmaking, being a director, you know, wherever you are within the, you know, behind the camera or in front of the camera, I do a lot of production. So I'm on both sides of the camera. I think, what was I going to say? Kind of lost my train of thought there for a second. I know what I was going to say. So the filmmaking process is very difficult, and you know, you're an actor and you're involved with film yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
So you know this very well. Making a film is pre-production, post-production, and the middle of it, filming. It's all very, it can be grueling. You know, it's hard. It is hard work. People outside of the film industry, I think they think it's like easy. And all my fellow actors, all my fellow filmmakers know that it's a lot of work. So the one thing that has to be there among the cast, among the crew, everyone, hopefully at least for most of the production.
Yes.
At least the beginning of the production, until things go wrong and then everybody wants to shoot themselves. But is you have to be enthusiastic and passionate, very passionate, because if you don't have that, at least at the get-go, it's hard work. And people will be like, oh, fuck this. This is for the birds, you know?
Right.
And so I think I have felt on occasion, not a lot, not often, but on occasion, like, okay, I really just can't wait for this to be over, you know? And I don't like feeling like that. I like to feel like, okay, maybe this was a difficult day on this particular day. The next day will be better.
Sure.
And depending on the production, you know, there's all sorts of obstacles that every production faces. But I don't want to have that. I don't want to feel like going into my next project, it's like, oh, here we go again. Ugh. Right. You know, I don't want to get to that point. So
I think that was a fantastic answer, and really it's about, you know, identifying for yourself when you feel stagnant, and you've identified there are some times when you feel that way.
Yeah.
And then it's really about, okay, so how do I compartmentalize and admit this is a negative experience, but then stop it from carrying on to the next project? So how do you compartmentalize then? How are you able to do that?
And then not just to the next project, but to your attitude toward what you're doing as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, just in general.
That's right. So how do you do that? So I think, you know, on this show specifically, I've had people say to me, oh, I didn't know that that actor or that director felt that way. I thought that they were superhuman. I didn't know they experienced the same thing. So I think if, you know, I'm going to ask you this question because I think it affects a lot of people. How do you not get bogged down with negative emotions, that it starts polluting your entire attitude toward your profession? So how do you, Deborah Lamb, do that? How do you stop it from polluting everything?
Well, a good therapeutic thing to do is to do something where your child self can feel joy. So if you're doing something, like say you're an actor, filmmaker, whatever, and you're involved in whatever projects, and you just feel like, you know, I'm not feeling it. I just can't do this anymore. Maybe you need a little break or something, or some kind of diversion. Like my husband and I, every once in a while, go out for a drive. We went out for a drive to the coast up in Northern California. And we just got out for a drive and we were playing music. And then we found, we stopped off at the ocean and we found these rocks and we went rock climbing and we found these little tide pools. So for at least an hour, I'm like finding all these little tiny shells and these tide pools and these little like hermit crabs, and just forgot about everything and just, you know, got back into feeling like, you know, I felt like a little kid, and my husband was having fun and we were having a good time just being little kids, gathering little seashells and just doing something like that. And I think if you get to, or, you know, whatever somebody else, you know, everybody has their interests, you know, maybe for somebody it's playing video games with their friend or, sure, or their nieces or nephews or kids, or doing something that makes you laugh and have fun. And I think that's so important, to take those little breaks. And then, you know, like if you're feel like you're in a rut, or for me, you know, when I feel like I'm in a rut, you know, I rethink things and I think, okay, so maybe I'm feeling like I'm in a rut. What can I do to not be in this rut? Do I just quit altogether? Say, you know, what's the saying? Throw out the baby with the bathwater, or do you just take a step back and think, okay, what would make me happy? And then you think about what would make you happy and just take steps towards that thing so that you can get your joy back. Now, of course, I want to make this very clear. I am super, super lucky and super, super fortunate to be where I am and at the place that I am. I came from extremely poor beginnings. My mother and myself and my sister, we were very poor. You know, there were times when we were homeless. As a young adult, I faced having so little money. I didn't have enough money to eat. I couldn't eat for, you know, days because I literally didn't have any money. And, you know, so I have not had a privileged life, but I have to say, you know, and I've worked very hard, very hard. I, you know, as far as acting goes, I came from a place where I knew nobody, you know, came from nothing, didn't have anyone that could help me, didn't have any mentors. You know, I kind of just tried my best to figure out how to become an actor way back in the 80s, coming right after out of high school. And I literally had like no breaks, no real breaks. I had a couple like kind of sort of breaks, but early on, but not really. It's been a struggle. And then throughout my whole career, I haven't had any real definitive breaks. You know, I've just been trudging along, you know, working, doing these, you know, this film, then that film, then that film, just going from, you know, just doing what people do. And for a while, I was in a horribly, horribly abusive relationship, which I don't talk about much. But I was married to somebody before who was very abusive. And during that time, I was pulled out of acting altogether because this person was basically a narcissistic sociopath, probably psychopath, but who knows? I don't know what the definitions are. I'm not a doctor, but whatever the deal was with this person, I could not have a career while I was with this person. So, you know, I just worked regular jobs. And then after 9 years of with that person, I finally was able to break free. And then for several years, I just worked regular jobs. I was with the corporate, I was with a couple different companies. And then I was with a company called Grainger for 10 and a half years. And then through Grainger, I met my husband, Eric. And then somewhere in the, I don't know when it was. Oh, I know when it was. It was like around 2010. Just as a fluke, I just started getting back to it. It was really because I got on Facebook and people remembered me from the earlier films that I did in the 80s and 90s. That's how I got back into acting. So for the last 10 years, or a little more than 10 years, since around 2010, I very, very, very slowly, you know, recreated an acting career. And then, of course, things picked up through the years. And now I'm where I'm at, which is I'm in a good, sweet spot now. So, yeah, but yeah, I forgot what the question was again.
No, it's okay. We can, I think you actually just shared an awful lot about your timeline of your life, which I wasn't as familiar with, you know, not only the abusive relationship, but just kind of your humble beginnings. And I wonder how has all of that really shaped who you are? Because there are people that are, and again, no judgment toward them, who are born into a situation where they do have a lot, or perhaps they've never really experienced a lot of trauma. And it sounds like you've experienced trauma in multiple ways. So I'm wondering, how has that shaped you and who you are today?
Well, I do believe it makes me, well, I don't know if the, okay, I'll say it. I was going to say, I believe this makes me empathetic, but I'm a very empathetic person. I'm an empath, so I'm very empathetic anyway. But going through all those different kinds of experiences, you know, as difficult as life has been on and off throughout the years, you know, I've had ups too, you know, it hasn't been all, you know, struggle. Sure. I've had some good times, and including now is a good time too. But I think as an actor, I really feel that I have a lot of depth that hasn't been explored on film. And I'm really looking forward to, as I grow older, because I am more mature now, and the roles that I'm getting are, you know, a far cry than the roles I was getting in my 20s and early 30s. Of course, you know, apples to oranges, totally, completely different, because, you know, I don't feel comfortable running around in a bikini anymore. So, you know, I'm looking forward to being able to take my life experiences and putting them into the roles that I've, some of these roles I did last year. Also, I was able to, you know, bring some of these experiences to the table, but in the future. And a lot of people, I don't think, you know, they don't know my story. And it's not something that I really share a lot, because I like to kid around. I like to be funny. You know, I like to make things fun and joyful. And, you know, I don't go out there saying, oh, well, this happened to me. And oh, sure. Well, that happened to me. You know, I just don't do that. But I do have a lot of depth that I think a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, again, and I want to thank you for being vulnerable today and sharing some of this depth as you talked about. And you don't strike me in the conversations we've ever had as somebody who is going around saying, woe is me. You may talk about some things like you did today, but you have a very positive attitude in general that I've noticed.
You know, the funny thing is I think when I was younger, I really wished that I had a different, that I was born into something that I, and, you know, of course, even now I recognize that a lot of the people that you recognize, the people that are more like household names, those actors, the people that are in the blockbuster movies. And, you know, of course they all have their struggles too. But they at some point had some big leg up to where that they're, you know, recognized names. But, you know, so I always thought earlier on, you know, when I was younger, oh, gee, you know, wouldn't that have been nice to have come from a family that was born in, wouldn't it be nice to be born into it so that you could have that big leg up and have opportunities that other people don't have? Sure. And yeah, it would be cool, I have to say. But now that I'm older and having all these experiences behind me, I can't say that I'm sorry I didn't go through these things, these real difficult times. I think it gives me a lot of understanding into other people's struggles, because I see a lot of my friends struggling. I come across people who I didn't know that they came from a very, very difficult background. And so when I do find out somebody I know came from a background that I had no idea, I feel I can really, really feel where they're coming from, you know, and relate. So I don't know. I think there's something to be said to that, where you do have these experiences that aren't pleasant and aren't, you know, cucumber sandwiches, like Jack Nicholson says in, what's that movie? What is that movie that Jack Nicholson was in with Helen Hunt?
Oh, and As Good As It Gets.
Oh, yes, yes. Right. He said something about, you know,
that's right.
For some people, it's all cucumber sandwiches and sunshine. You're not for us, you know, but yeah, there's something to be said to be able to relate to personally from your own personal experiences, being able to relate to things that people go through, the hardships that people go through.
Yeah, I think that was an extremely emotionally intelligent thing to say, right? Because a lot of people struggle with lamenting the past. If I only would have had this happen, if this would have been done with me, or if somebody would have cared about me or shown me this, then I would be better. Yeah. And again, it's a natural feeling to have that. I think everybody does. But you've progressed past that. So I would like to, as we're ending the show, because we're out of time, that's all right. It was, I really appreciate how much you shared. I want to ask you just a final question. What advice, Deborah, would you give to people who may be struggling with letting go of the past?
It's difficult. I mean, I have difficulties within my own family, you know. It's always the story of this person's not talking to that person, and that person's mad at this person, and she, you know, she took this wrong, and there's all these family dynamics. So you have to, you know what? I don't know the quote exactly, but people share it on Facebook and Instagram all the time. There's this meme with Anthony Hopkins, and it's a whole long thing that he was talking about, but basically he was saying, I'll paraphrase the best I can. I'm sorry, Sir Anthony Hopkins, Sir Lord, what is he, a Lord now? I don't know what he is, but anyway. But, you know, to paraphrase it, he's basically saying, and I'm sure you've seen this, he's basically saying, you know, a lot of people are not going to love you. Stop chasing after the people who aren't going to love you. If they come around and they come to the point where they want you to be in their lives, then they will do that. But stop chasing after them. And that's something that I've had a problem with personally in my own life, where it's like, you know, you want to be loved by a particular person, and that person is just, and maybe that person's in your family and you feel like, well, that person should love me because blah, 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 they're my sister or whatever. Right. But you just have to realize that they're in their own little world. So if they don't love you, you know, you can't keep blaming yourself for people who don't want to be in your life. Like you did something wrong. Like you're damaged or whatever. You know, you have to realize that you have to just love yourself, be there for the people who are there for you, and let the cards fall where they may.
Yeah, I think that's extremely relevant. And from what are the two main themes that I heard you say, and again, I want to encourage people that are listening or watching to kind of take what you said to heart, is you only have a limited amount of energy and time.
Yes. Yes.
So you focus on the people that are truly there for you. And if other people come around, great. but focus on the people that really matter. And I also heard you say that if you put your values on others, if you say, well, they should do this because they're related, I mean, they're never going to live up to your expectations. So it gets kind of messy whenever you should other people, basically.
Or even like people in the film industry, you know, professionally, there's people there's people that I pay attention to, but they don't pay attention to me back. And so at some point I figured, they're not into me. So, you know, it's like, okay, I'll just go over here where somebody else wants to talk to me.
And that's perfect. It's really about diverting your energy toward the places that are going that matter, basically. They're going to reciprocate.
Exactly.
So, Well, Deborah, I want to thank you very much for sharing your perspective today and for appearing on the show. So it's been fantastic.
Well, this has been wonderful. And it's so funny because on a lot of shows, you know, I talk about things I'm working on and what's coming next and blah, 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 and, you know, promoing things. But this has been really refreshing.
Oh.
It's just been wonderful talking to you. I would like to come back and talk to you again. Yeah. You are just fantastic. I loved your questions and I really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Well, thank you for that, that plug actually of the show in a way, because it really, if you found value in it and talking about your perspective, then that's extremely valuable to me as well. So thank you, Deborah.
And it gave me an excuse to put some makeup on.
Well, there you go. That's what we can all hope for, I hope. So, okay. Well, yeah, we definitely can have you back for a part two at some point where we can delve even further into what's going on with Deborah Lamb. So thank
you. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's been great to have you on and communicate with you. So I want to thank, of course, all the viewers and listeners out there. Thanks for tuning into Brain Burrow. And on behalf of Deborah Lamb, this is Mark DiValenti. Have a fantastic day.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram at ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.